Oui, pas vrai.
Sit. This evening, I'm speaking with Mr. George Raposa, who lives on Main Road in Westport, who is a neighbor of mine and whom I'm very fond of. I'm Mary Giles. I want to know as much as I can about his background, his family, and so on. I understand that your family, at some point, father or grandfather, came from Portugal.
Yes. Want me to go on now? Yes, they did. My grandfather came in from Portugal in about 1873. He came in with the idea of the New World, but it was hard for his wife to get used to, so they returned. So later in life, a few years later, when they had a family of four, they decided to have the rest of the family come in one by one, as they could get the finances for their passages. So that my older uncle, which was Benjamin, he came through and he looked for work at the Kerr Mills, stayed there a while, and then the government started to get people together to serve in the army. And my father, at the age of 17, didn't like the idea, so he thought that he would jump ship and go on his own. So he came through on a ship on top of the boiler with a couple of pieces of bread, and he got here and he landed in Providence in the middle of February in a snowstorm without heavy clothes or anything. And he just got off the docks and headed down the first highway he see. He ended up in past East Providence onto the next little town till it was dark, and he saw this light, so he went in and knocked at this door, and this man come to the door and asked him what he wanted, and he couldn't speak or anything. He just looked up at him. And his wife from the back looked and says, "Walter, let that young man in. He's cold. Can't you see?" So he let my father in, and she got him a hot meal and dried his clothes for him, and try to communicate with him as best she could, but she found out that he was green and could not speak, and she thought that something should be done for him, so next morning they put him to work. So he ended up working with Mr. Walter Anthony in the farm for a while.
Excuse me, George, where was this? Do you remember?
This was the next town to East Providence. Now, I forget the...
Yes,
I just cannot remember
matter.
Right
that
now. I was in
matter.
East Providence,
mm-hmm.
just over the line from East Providence,
mm-hmm.
which I'll think of it later. Mm-hmm. And so finally he got fed up with that, and he thought he'd had enough because there was no pay, there was no money.
No.
He was given a dollar and a quarter a month in his keeps.
Yes.
So one Sunday morning, he happened to come in contact with someone else that was Portuguese and could speak to work the next farm, and he told him that he want to go into Fall River, so he said he did. So they jumped the bus or the whatever there was for transportation then at the time, and they ended up in Fall River, which he finally found a family that was from his village that he lived in, Portugal. And from there, he went to work for Lizzie Borden's father. And he worked there a while, in which my oldest uncle eventually was made foreman, and he worked there for a while.
Lizzie Borden's father? What business was he in? Did he have a farm?
He had a farm, yes. Mm-hmm. He had a tremendous farm in Fall River, right on the Blossom Road area.
Yes.
He owned all those properties out
there. Yes.
And he worked there a while until he got itchy-footed again, then he headed for California. So he went there and done a little ranching. He had a cousin out there. And he done a little ranching and cowboying and doing whatever.
And this is your father?
Yes. Yes. There.
How old was he, do you think?
He must have been about 19 then when he went. Then he stayed there until he was about 23 years old. He came back into Fall River. And he met my mother. She worked at the mills, the Alden Mills, I think they were then at the time on...
In Fall River.
In Fall River, yes. Mm-hmm. Then they got married, and you could never keep him inside. He was an outside man, so he finally traveled the country until he got out into Westport. And he started looking for a farm. So he came across a farm, which they called the old Joe Lawton place, that my brother still owns today, that my grandfather had bought years prior when he came over.
I see. And your grandmother didn't like.
No, your grandmother didn't like because she could not get used to the relationship. And she got lonesome. She wanted to go back home. Really, that's really what it was. Which we never got it straight from her because she was a very quiet person that said very little. But the lonesomeness was enough to hint to my grandfather that she just couldn't take it. So my father bought that place and started raising a family. But we did go into, he did go into poultry.
Oh.
Which he had trouble with the hawks, the fox, and a lot of stuff. So he bought himself a gun. And he learned how to use a shotgun.
Yes.
Every time he'd fire at it, he'd go down on his fanny. Till finally he gave that up and quit raising chickens. And he thought that he'd go into market gardening, which he was quite successful in, so that he had, for animals, then he had a horse, then he bought a calf, then he raised it to a cow, then he got himself a bull, and then he went from then on one thing at a time until finally he got himself quite a herd of cattle.
So from poultry, he went into cattle.
Into the milk.
Yes.
Industry. Milk.
Yes. Did he raise his own feed for the cattle?
Oh, yes, you do. That follows. That is with feed and cattle, they take care of themselves that way. Where there is cattle, there's got to be feed.
Yes.
Because you have your fertilization from your cattle and everything, so therefore you have to raise the feed.
Did he have a garden for vegetables and things
definitely.
Like that?
My mother took care of that. She took care of the home garden and all that. And so after a while the farm got small, which he had three boys then. My brother Manuel, Benjamin, and John. Then finally he came and moved up just about a mile and a half from the place and went into the old Mason Gifford place. It was a farm that was bordering the Mason Gifford place.
Where is that?
That's down where my brother lives, where the homestead is now.
Where your brother, yes.
There was 3/4 of a mile back down a lane.
Yes.
And we moved everything up.
I see.
And bought the surrounding property.
Mm-hmm. It was down a long lane.
It was down a long lane, yes. Mm-hmm. So from there, he expanded in every direction. Then he went heavily into market gardening, which he raised his early crops, such as peas, beans, spinach, etc. And later on would come the corn, the turnips, and the tomatoes, and lettuce, and other table foods.
Mm-hmm. Did you sell those?
Oh, yes. We packed them in boxes and sent them boxes and barrels.
Mm-hmm.
And he had a big express wagon and a horse by the name of Bill that used to take him into Fall River, New Bedford.
Mm-hmm.
And early hours, at 2 o'clock, he'd get up. And mm-hmm. he'd have the wagon all loaded and take him and pedal to the stores before they'd open
mm-hmm.
in the mornings.
Mm-hmm.
Then he'd be back by 8 o'clock in the morning and he'd be ready for another load. Or to do some more plowing, some more planting, mm-hmm. and so
could you
so
tell
on.
Me a little bit about the kinds of tools he used, farm tools, farm equipment?
Well, the farm equipment, our first plow was a wooden share plow. It was an old-fashioned, made by the John Deere people.
Mm-hmm.
It was an old plow. And then you had the hand cultivators and the small harrows that you followed the horse with. It was single horse
mm-hmm.
equipment.
Mm-hmm.
Until finally he bought a mowing machine.
Mm-hmm.
But there were so many rocks around the place that it was hard to mow mm-hmm. by. But prior to that, we've jumped.
Yes, all right.
So let's go back. Now we had a big family. Finally, the family kept growing, his family and ours. We were the young, and they were the preceding generation. And then we had our uncles used to come in and help us with the harvesting, with hand size to mow our hay. And they used to bring barrels of cider down and barrels of beer.
Where did your uncles live?
They lived in Fall River.
Oh. Mm-hmm.
They were all in Fall River. It would be like a caravan Friday night. They'd mm-hmm. come through 5 and 6 horses with their wagons, with their families.
Did they farm in Fall River too?
Or no, did no, they no, do no. It? They were mill people.
Mill people.
They all
mm-hmm.
worked in the mill.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And we had a grand time. We had some beautiful orchards then, and we'd all spread out under the orchard in the shade, and the summers were balmy. We'd all sleep outside, have campfires, play games, and everyone knew how to play an instrument, and it was a wonderful life then, now that I think of it.
Yes.
And the harvesting used to be done in 2 weekends, especially when they try to get a long holiday in.
Now, what were you going to harvest now?
Hay.
Hay.
Sometime it'd be oats.
Mm-hmm.
Sometime
this
it'd be
this was for
hay.
The cattle?
That was for the cattle. That was all stored.
Yes. You didn't
stacks.
Sell any of this
no,
hay?
No, no, no. That was stored in stacks and mows.
Mm-hmm.
They call it, and under Dutch caps
mm-hmm.
outside.
Mm-hmm.
And then from there, the father decided that he needed a car. So in 1917, he bought the first little tin Lizzie from Frank Petty.
Mm-hmm.
A little runabout Ford.
Mm-hmm.
And we sold the body to Tabor, Elliot Tabor's brother.
Mm-hmm.
And we had Oscar Palmer, which was a neighbor of ours, make us a body for our wagon.
Yes.
Or a car, a little Ford.
Oscar Palmer's in the hospital now, you know.
Oh,
he's
he is?
Very sick.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Well, he's quite
He's in his 90s.
Sure.
I talked with him about his early life here.
He was a grand man.
Year.
And then from there, we start buying all the properties around us. Old Frank Perry lived above us, but he had land close by, and his daughter, Beatrice, which married a Cabral. He died in 1918 during influenza,
mm-hmm.
and left her with two children, or three children, and she wanted to sell the land, so we bought all the land
mm-hmm.
from her.
Now, is that near Mr. Perry's farm now up there? You're very near. Is that near Andrew Perry's?
Yeah, it's near Andrew's.
Mm-hmm.
It's near Andrew's. So we bought all the property right up as far as the road,
mm-hmm.
which split the old Perry estate in half.
Mm-hmm.
We bought the majority of the properties.
I think we ought to stop now and say that your farm is on the west side of the
main
road.
Yeah.
In Central Village.
In Central Village, mm-hmm. yeah. Yeah. And then we really did have to dig in and make land because it was so rocky and so many bushes and trees and everything, so that we made land by hand,
mm-hmm.
just by drilling and blasting and cutting stones away.
Mm-hmm.
So we made a lot of land.
Where did you cart the stones to? Did you cart them
down into swamps,
mm-hmm.
down away into the pasture land that could not be tilled.
Mm-hmm.
And we made many acres of land. And then we went way down into the May Skiffet place, and we made three good-sized lots, giving us about 35, 40 acres more.
Mm-hmm.
So that it added about 70 acres of tillable soil to the whole farm.
Yes.
Which we went heavily into dairy farming. Then we began to buy heavier tools and get away from horses and plowing by hand. I was the last one that plowed by hand there. But as far as the boys are concerned, they worked as men since the age of seven. At 7 years old, I milked seven cows. I had the pride of saying I could milk seven cows
mm-hmm.
at the age of 7 years old.
Mm.
So that we all had our share of work to do. We had our own cows to take care of. We named them all.
Mm-hmm.
They all had names. And we had a lot of fun doing it, although it was just a lot of work. It was work from sunrise to sunset.
When you were in the evening, I suppose you were just worn out.
Well, I'd be sat at the table trying to eat, and my face would be falling into my plate. My mother would wash me and put me to bed.
Mm-hmm. At 7 years old, or older.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And older,
mm-hmm.
and older.
Mm-hmm.
But before sunrise, we'd be out
mm-hmm.
getting the cattle together,
mm-hmm.
which they slept out in the summer hours, summertime.
Mm-hmm.
And we used to have to bring them in. Some you'd have to tie them and feed them
mm-hmm.
and try and milk them before they could get through eating the grain.
Mm-hmm.
You'd give them a bucket of grain. In order to get the milk from them, while they were eating the grain, you could get the milk.
As yes.
soon as they got through eating the grain, they'd walk away,
yes.
whether you'd milk them or not. So you had to work quite fast.
You had to work fast.
You had to work fast.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. And then we went into only dairy farming.
Mm-hmm.
But our best years were during the First World War.
Mm-hmm.
That was when we made money.
Mm-hmm.
That was when a barrel of cabbage was $12 and $13. A barrel of bushel of tomatoes was $12 and $13. A bushel of shell beans was $12 and $13. And it was all good tax-free money.
Mm-hmm.
Eh?
Mm-hmm.
My mother used to get as many eggs she could together, and they sold eggs up to 12 cents a piece.
Mm-hmm. Where did she sell her eggs?
We had a neighbor by the name of John Costa. He used to come and pick them up
mm-hmm.
by the bucketfuls.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
They were not packaged. They were in buckets.
Mm-hmm.
She'd wash them and put them in these galvanized buckets, and he'd take them in
mm-hmm.
for her and bring her the money.
And take them to Fall River?
Take them to Fall River,
mm-hmm.
yes. Yeah. So...
How much do you think they brought a dozen in Fall River?
In Fall River, they'd be $2. $2 a dozen.
$2 a dozen?
Oh, yes.
That's more than they are now.
That was during the...
The war.
War.
Mm-hmm.
During World War I.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. Our milk was 13, 14 cents. It's what it's costing today.
13, 14 cents a quart?
A quart, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
That's what you're getting today for milk.
Is that what the farmer gets?
That's
not what I pay.
No, no. That's what the farmer gets.
I see.
Oh, sure. And then it used to, you'd buy a cow for $35 and $40.
Mm-hmm.
If she was a bad cow, but she gave good milk, and she was a kicker or hard to handle, you'd buy her for $18, $19, or give them what you wanted for the cow. They could get rid of her.
Uh-huh.
Many a time, my father and I'd go to Brighton and come back with a cow that you couldn't touch. She was so nervous and so wicked.
Yes.
She'd never let you touch her.
Uh-huh.
Well, my father would.
Yes.
He'd finally break her in and he'd handle her. He was a good farmer. My father was a good farmer. He knew his farming. He knew his land. He knew his cattle, and he loved cattle. And he gave us one of the greatest experiences in our lives. We were never allowed to ask questions, but we could watch him and learn generously
mm-hmm.
of what he was doing
mm-hmm.
by watching him do it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Did he ever tell you what he wanted you to do?
Always did. He gave his orders, and he just gave them once.
And you were expected?
Oh, he expected it. Done. Mm-hmm. He never asked, have you done it?
No. He just knew you had.
He knew he had. Oh,
uh-huh.
sure.
Uh-huh.
Because when he'd leave and go anywhere, if he had some other business to attend to, at the breakfast table, orders were issued.
Mm-hmm.
To each one, and he never repeated it.
Mm-hmm.
And when he came back, he never asked, did you do? He'd start issuing other orders, knowing that that was done.
Yes.
Because if it wasn't done, it was up to us to tell him why.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what he expected from us.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. Mm-hmm. So, that was our pioneering times.
Did you go to school then at all?
Oh, yes.
You went, where did you go to school?
We went to school. My first school was at Mackamas Corner, there on Adamsville Road. There was a little one-room school there. And I was the janitor. We had an old stove. One of those long laundry wooden stoves.
How old were you when you were this janitor?
Well, I must have been about 8,
mm-hmm.
going on 9.
Mm-hmm.
And we stayed there. We used to have to go down to the bottom of the back farm to a spring and get water to drink. Our outhouse was outside, the woodshed was in the middle, and the girls' room was on one side, and the boys' room was on the other. And if we were not good people, we used to have old Mr. Reynolds come by and take care of us with his little switch.
Mm-hmm. Who was Mr. Reynolds?
Mr. Reynolds was the milkman, and he was the a farmer from Westport.
Mm-hmm.
And he used to do a lot of walking around, doing different little things, and he was available when
your father needed
to be.
Yes.
He used to do a lot of, he used to cart the milk. He was the milkman. He'd cart the milk, and he'd take the milk into the city to be processed and
mm-hmm.
all.
Mm-hmm.
In the wintertime, he'd have a big sleigh with two horses, and In the summertime, he'd have the low bed wagon.
Mm-hmm. And so you sold your milk in Fall River.
Oh, yes.
Mm-hmm.
We had the name of Joe Dewsway. He used to come up and pick up our milk.
Mm-hmm.
Fall River
Big cans?
It would be the eight-quart cans, and they went to 10-quart cans, and they went to 40-quart tanks.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And I can remember vividly of our highways when there was only three cars in Westport. And the highways were not macadamized at all.
No.
We sold a lot of rock. We carried a lot of rock to stone crushers when they started. The only macadamized road was Sanford Road, halfway. All the rest were dirt roads.
Mm-hmm.
Grass growing in between, because it would be horse trails.
What was the main road like?
Pardon?
What was the main road?
The main road was dirt.
Dirt
road.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yes. Sanford Road.
This
from
is
Paul
when
Road
you were a boy.
When I was a boy, yes.
Mm-hmm.
Sure. Many a toenail I lost on them roads, stubbing my toes on the rocks.
Yes.
Yeah. And I can remember watching it, working with it, and watching the roads being macadamized, which were tarred. And
when do you think that happened? Was that after the war or before the war?
Yes, it started before the war. It started before the war, and it went continuously until finally we got most of the main highways macadamized.
Of course, we're still working on them.
Mm.
We're making new roads all the time.
Yeah, yeah. And
Did you ever go down to the point?
I was just going to mention that. We used to go down through the point, over the bridge, and at the Hossneck Beach to pick up seaweed
mm-hmm.
for the land.
Mm-hmm.
We used to use that as manure.
Mm-hmm.
Sure. And until finally, the family began to grow up. My oldest brother got married, and he been on his own, and all the others got a little fed up with the farm, and everybody begun to leave slowly. I was the only one that stayed on the farm till we were 21.
Those all left before they were 21?
Yeah, they all left. Some went to California, others went to New York. They just decided to split. They just had enough of the farm.
Mm-hmm. They didn't have the farm blood in them that your father did.
No, they didn't. They had no interest in it at all. It was slow living for them, and they were looking for excitement.
Mm-hmm.
And there was no services calling for inductions of any kind.
Mm-hmm.
So that they all went, and that was during the height of depression.
That was in the 30s?
That was in the early, late 20s and the 30s.
Uh-huh.
Sure.
Late 20s.
Yeah. So that I left after I was 21. And I went on my own. I went over to the Hervey Hitt place.
Over where?
Hervey Hitt place, across from the fireside.
Oh, yes.
So he had two places there, and I hired both of them, and I went into business for myself. So I'd done some farming there, and then I went into the dairy. I bought a dairy in Fall River, and I went peddling my own milk until I just had enough of it, and then I went working for the government.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So that's what happened
mm-hmm.
between farming and the end of it.
Yes. Now, when in this time were you married?
I was married in 32.
In
1932,
mm-hmm.
yes.
And that was during the Depression.
At the height of Depression,
mm-hmm.
yes.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And that was when you were at the hip farm, or it was...
That's when I had the hip farm.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And Agnes helped with farming, or...
Well, Agnes wasn't...
Agnes was your wife.
Yeah, she wasn't much for the farm, but she'd done what she could.
Mm-hmm.
But right away, we went into a large family, which in those days,
yes.
Five children was a lot of family then.
Yes.
And she...
When did she get her college education? After her children?
Oh, no, long before. She never went to normal schools. She was a brain all the way through.
Yes.
So that she ended up in Herrick's Institute,
mm-hmm.
which was a college type of school, same as Bentley's or
mm-hmm.
Campbell's.
Mm-hmm.
And she was a very brilliant woman, always was.
She still is.
Yeah. And now... I think that I've pretty well completed what you needed to know on the farm, so there, if there's anything else...
George, when you were young, what kinds of games did you play?
Well, we made up our own games for fun, diversification, when there was nothing to do. Which we had such little time to play. We used to have target practice. We'd make our own bow and arrows. We were quite well at it, and once in a while we'd get enough money together and we'd get ourselves a little air rifle or a .22. I can remember my little Stevens. I could, from 30 paces, light a match or unscrew the top of a spark plug. I was quite pretty good at it. I used it well, and I could pick up anything that I could see with my eyes.
Mm-hmm.
And we used to, in the winter time, we'd make up our own rigging with barrel staves and make our own skis. We used to make our own snowshoes, with snow in those days. We used to go up to three and four feet and get crusty at the top. From the variation of weather. And we used to have our little baseball teams. My father was a great football player, so that he used to play with a team, the Westport team. Farmers would get together on the threshing floor of Abraham Potter's barn, and they used to have some pretty good games in there, so that we'd indulge in a few little games that were quite rough at times. Then we would take the body off of an express wagon and put a wheel on it, take the front off, and went the front piece that the horses slid into, and we'd put a wheel on it and go downhill. Down the handy hill, get all jump on, go down the handy hill, down to Hicks's Bridge.
Yes.
And in the winter time, we'd have toboggan sleds. We'd look for
good
hills.
Did you make them, or did your father make them, or did you buy them?
No, we'd make them.
Mm-hmm.
We'd make everything.
Mm-hmm.
My father didn't buy us a wheel. He wouldn't buy nothing. He was too cheap. And he had money to burn, and he would never buy us anything. He'd say, "You want something? Make it."
He wanted you to be inventive. Probably that's why you're the mechanical. I wanted to go into the fact that you are what I think of as a mechanical genius.
Well, I think that's what made us mechanics.
Mm-hmm.
It was the... When you desire something and you have seen it made, you imitate it.
Yes.
So you get what you can together and imitate it as close as you can.
You never took any courses in engineering or mechanics or anything.
Well, I did. I went to a school in Baltimore.
Mm-hmm.
and I studied on engineering and heating.
Mm-hmm.
I had that,
mm-hmm.
which was quite beneficial to me.
Because you're actually, in these last years, you've been one of the heating experts of Westport. I mean, you've installed many heating systems.
Oh, yes. I have a consulting capacity.
Mm-hmm.
I can guide, teach people.
Mm-hmm.
And they consult in me when they need
mm-hmm.
help,
mm-hmm.
air conditioning, plumbing, heating, masonry, carpentry, electrical work. And I've been quite successful, and I still indulge in it. I like to keep my hand in it because I just like it enough so that retirement to me gives me more time to do what I want to do,
yes.
without having to do it.
And now you're doing a lot of just home gardening and having fun with that.
Well, yes. It's just to keep me busy and limber.
Mm-hmm.
I don't like to be stagnant.
No. What time do you get up now? Still at 6
o'clock? I get up about 6 o'clock, half past 5, 6. I get up when my wife does. Many times she gets up a little earlier than I.
Uh-huh.
But if I can get to bed within a reasonable hour, about half past 5, 6 o'clock, I'm ready to get up.
Yes. So. I think you're wonderful. I that's amazing. Well, George, when you were a child, did you feel completely at home in this community? You just at one time indicated that your family and that generation actually felt as if they belonged completely.
Yes, I did. In some instances, you would, depending where you were and who you were among.
Mm-hmm.
You were accepted. But I dare say that the older generation accepted. The younger, which were of my generation, were always ready to disown you in whatever thing that you were doing. They wanted to either excel you or send you away or beat you up.
Mm-hmm.
There was always confliction of some kind, and it always ended up that you were a foreigner, a black Portuguese, or whatever.
Yes.
So that you had these little things that just kept you always on your guard and always in some way that lump in your throat.
Yes.
That you'd get mm-hmm. when you were not accepted because you loved them all.
Yes.
But you weren't being loved.
I went out to dinner last night with a lovely young woman and her husband and her little blonde daughter. They live at the Point. She is a potter. They come from California. The daughter is absolutely, she's, I think, 7 years old.
Mm.
But the family are artists. And artists are different, in a way, from other people. And her father said, "How was school today?" And the child said, "It was great. Nobody made fun of me." Now, I thought that was so interesting. Now, she's a blonde English girl.
Yeah.
But you see, her family are a little bit different than some other families, or she's a little different from some others, or else children are just
particularly are
sensitive and cruel.
They're cruel. Children mm. are cruel.
Mm-hmm. If you're different, they
are ready to let you know.
Mm-hmm.
See,
mm-hmm.
and they deny you and they fight you and mm-hmm. we used to have snowball fights. We used to have sides
mm-hmm.
when we were kids, and we'd have the girls making snowballs for us in big pans. And once in a while, you'd get a black eye from one. They'd put a stone in it or some coal in it.
Oh.
So that there was, see, there was the Central Villages, there was the Westport Pointers, there were the Northwest Pointers, and we used to have rivalry.
Yes. Say. Did you have teams? I've read something about different baseball and basketball teams.
I had one of the best teams. We call them the Winnemalls. And we used to have a great time.
What were you playing? What kind of a team?
Baseball. Baseball team. Mm-hmm. We used to have track teams. We used to have baseball. We used to have volleyball. And we had, but you never had a prepared lot of any kind. You just had the back of the school to play. Mm-hmm. So that you had.
Were you always at this school down on Adamsville Road, or did you?
No, I was shuffled around to different schools. From there, I went to the Westport Point School.
Mm-hmm.
No, I went to the Milton E. Earle School. It was just built.
Mm-hmm.
There was 12 grades there. I went there, and then from there, I went to the Westport Point School. Then from the Westport Point School, I went to the Macomber's Corner. No, not the Macomber's Corner, but the Brownells School.
Mm-hmm.
And then from there, I went to the Northwestport School,
mm-hmm.
which they called it the junior high then.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Did you like school?
I loved school very much. I could do 2 grades at a time.
Mm-hmm.
I was good, but I had good teachers.
Mm-hmm.
They once you showed interest, then they'd have interest in you.
Yes.
And they would help you anytime.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
See. So my relations in school were very good,
mm-hmm.
and I learned a lot, and I was great on history, English, and math.
Mm-hmm.
I had 3 subjects, and spelling, 4 subjects,
mm-hmm.
that were very interesting to me,
mm-hmm.
which has been quite beneficial to me.
Yes.
And from there, I have picked up a lot. Mm-hmm. I picked up a lot. But I had to drop away because the rest of the boys were getting, the older ones were getting sort of light-footed and they wanted to leave. They were getting uneasy, so I had to come back home and take care of the farm with my dad and the younger ones.
After you were at the hit farm, you had to come back?
No, that was after school.
After school,
after the 8th grade.
Mm-hmm. You had to leave school after the eighth grade.
And then, I got my, I went through, got my high school diploma later,
mm-hmm.
and I didn't have that much time left for studies after that, only for night classes and other little
mm-hmm.
things that I could indulge in to learn. I wanted to be a doctor so bad, and I had 3 years of animal husbandry until I had to go into a college, and there was no money. I was married already, and it was too late to go.
You had the children already, I suppose.
Children.
Uh-huh.
I was burdened then. I could mm-hmm. not.
You just couldn't stop.
I just
couldn't spend money on yourself.
Spend money on myself.
No.
I couldn't afford the luxury.
No. No. Well, I just want to thank you for letting me talk with you and sharing your experiences with me. I know I haven't even begun to touch some of the interesting things that you've done. You've helped us incredibly since you've been here, since we've been here, and we've always loved both you and Agnes and your children. We don't see very much of you, but and you may not know how we felt. I think you knew how Mike felt.
Oh, yes. Mike and I would always get together and rap a while and
yes.
enjoy each other. He listened as much to me as I would to him. He let me talk sometimes so long that I'd be embarrassed and I'd think to myself, I'll bet you this man thinks I'm bending his ear. But he'd say, all right, George, so you, go on, I'm listening. He wouldn't want me to stop.
No.
He'd always say, you give me food for thought. He was a great man. He was one of a kind that you could always know he was sincere And when he said good morning or good evening, he meant it.
Mm-hmm.
And there was something about this man, he had a charisma that I could never dream of asking for.
Well, we mustn't talk. We're not talking about Mike now.
Right.
But I'll just pause and stop with thanking you and saying good night. And I'm sure the committee will be very much rewarded.
Thank you.